Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast called How I Teach Golf. I'll be your host, Duncan Walger, and today I'm talking to a good friend of mine, Steve Astle, about him, his career, and how he can help you play better golf. Hi, Steve, how are you doing?
Duncan, good to hear from you, mate.
Good to hear from you. Steve, we're going to jump straight on in and just tell me about you and growing up and how you got into our great game that we share passionately about and how you ended up where you currently teach.
So, right, I guess got into the game very much dad-driven. I say driven, it wasn't at all, but my dad used to play. I used to tag along. Was certainly pestering to tag along. And, just fell in love with it. And I was all football, cricket growing up, and golf was just a bit of a pastime, really. We used to just play it as a bit of a break from the football. And got to the age of 15, and I was told that I wasn't tall enough to play football anymore. I'm now 6'2" and played professional basketball, but that's talent identification. That's a whole different podcast.
That is. We'll do that one later.
Yeah, but certainly from a golf perspective, yeah, I just had something I could drop straight into. Loved the challenge of golfing your own ball around there. Done all the team sports stuff. I love the fact that I could be successful or fail off my own back. And just the drive for perfection, I think. You never master this game, and I love that constant striving.
Yeah. When did you take it up?
It must have been probably quite late to it, 12 or 13, okay. I want to say.
About 13, 14, so both pretty late.
I know you did a lot of swimming and stuff, Dunk, past chats. And, it's really interesting. It's like I said, it's a whole different podcast almost. But, you see a lot of seven-year-olds now, and you kind of think they've got a long time to really keep at it before they're going to reach where they want to get to. Mm-hmm. And maybe miss some of the other great skill sets that are out there in other sports. But, so that was me. Fell in love with it. And then it was all just golf, 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 golf. Knew I wanted to do something in golf. My parents were both teachers, was adamant I didn't want to do anything in education. And then ended up a golf coach. So I guess I did end up in education. But that's kind of how it went. And just full-time coaching now, Duncan, to be honest with you. So don't have anything to do with the shops, really. It's just literally trying to help people day in, day out. That works in several different formats for me, trying to do a lot of coach education with the PGA, delivering their coaching programs. Obviously helping individual golfers day to day, from not so much beginners these days, I would say club golfers up to elite level. Other stuff I do is also a lot of coach consultancy. So trying to help other coaches build their businesses. I've been very fortunate to have a full diary for over 10 years and kind of just trying to pass some of that information and knowledge back on to other coaches, I guess, of how I've done that and, recruit people and retain people. So, yeah, that's pretty much me. I'm at Morley Hayes in Derby now, which is my home.
How long have you been there?
Yeah, 10 years again there now. Okay. So, part of East Midlands Golf Academy there, along with three other colleagues. And then we've got another pro on site as well. But, quite a vibrant golf academy. A lot of players coming through, all different types. Fun to be part of, really is.
Brilliant. And Morley Hayes itself is whereabouts?
Yeah, we're based in Derbyshire, between Derby and Nottingham. Lovely complex, hotel on site, 27 holes, driving range, undercover bays, grass bays, all usual power tees. We've just had a big refurb there. So we've got, I think, four restaurants on site, conference facilities. Just a great place, great environment to be as a coach every day and a great environment to learn the game or improve your game as well.
Brilliant. So people can actually stay there, and what type of golf lessons can you give there? Can you literally give every type of golf lesson, or
absolutely
do you find yourself just on full swing or just putting or what?
Good ones and bad ones. No, we give absolutely every kind. So we've almost got a lot of coaches at their specialist area on site. That's how we've developed our business. So myself and my colleague would tend to work with James Watley. We tend to work more elite end players, and I guess single figures, mid-teen handicappers, people that really want to get better and are willing put the work in. We've then got coaches who specialise in the ladies' side of the game, individual and group development. We've got coaches that are dealing solely with junior development. We've got everything pretty much on site in terms of body track. We've got a ball 3D system on site. One of our coaches uses that. So all the coaches have kind of got their own little tools that they use. We've got everything you need, and we deal with everybody pretty much from all different levels and also from a wide, wide area. So we have clients come down from Sheffield up for, you know, across from Stoke, from, you know, Leicestershire, Nottinghamshire. So we pull in a lot of area as well in the East Midlands.
Brilliant. So if I was just the man on the street or the... golf coach, how do I go about finding you, Steve, and getting myself a lesson with you? And then what would happen in that lesson? What's the kind of plan or program or what before we get started?
So majority of our bookings done online. I guess 95% of people, that's sort of most convenient for them. So they go through our website, emga.co.uk, and hit the book now button. That gives them the option to book different time periods or different types of packages or programs with the different coaches that we've got. Once that's sorted, then it would just be basically sit down. Usually first session, we'd be able to sit down. We'd talk about what their goals are, what their wants and needs are, and then how we can meet those needs really. So I wouldn't say we've got a standard assessment program unless they're really unsure how to improve. And again, whether it's a quick fix or whether it's a long-term development program, we do a lot of those. So a lot of players come through from sort of October to April and really commit over a six-month period to getting better. Or whether it's just 30 minutes ready for captain's day on Saturday and quick fix. And I think there's a place for both. And our guys can meet all needs there, really, whether it's juniors, beginners, etc. But yeah, it's about getting a joint agreement with the player in place, and then sort of working down that pathway. And that's a very flexible working document that, you know, often needs changing and updating depending on where their life's at and what they can commit to as the sort of program develops.
Okay, so let's say we're on the S&T. I'm getting a lesson from you. How would the first few minutes go? If I'm hitting a few balls, what kind of things are you going through? What are you looking at? Or is there a questionnaire or anything like that? Or are you videoing? Or what's kind of going to happen?
Yeah, so we're gathering information, I guess, and that's from your client, you personally. So I want to know what things feel like to you. So first of all, establishing why you're there, what your goals are, you know, how much time you've got to commit and things like that. So we can get an idea on, I guess, your sort of commitment levels and how important it is to you. Get you hitting some balls away, usually fairly fast. I think especially if you're new, that helps you relax a little bit, gives you, you know, chance to get in the groove as such. And then during that time period, we'll be just gathering information, whether that's through body track, whether it's flight scope data, whether it's video. So we're just trying to gather lots of bits of information, but more importantly, probably alongside your feelings and your thoughts and the ball flight as well. So often the ball flight we see might not be what's matching up on the golf course, in which case we need to get out on the golf course. You know, and depend on the level of player, certainly the better level of player, I want to see some stats and I'll tell them that before they come in, bring that with them. Very few have them, but that's probably the quickest way we can get to the heart of what's going on, which usually is score related. You know, very rarely you'll get somebody come through, wants to hit it further or wants to enjoy it more. But more often than not, people want to shoot better scores and lower handicaps. And that's
absolutely,
yeah, that's what we're basing it around pretty much.
Excellent. And so, you know, in the first few minutes and bits and pieces, getting in the groove, you're collecting data on, did you say flight scope?
Yeah,
body track.
Yeah,
so you're going to see some pressure mapping and that type of stuff.
Yeah, so if it's short game stuff, we may be just running through some maybe skills tests or certain tests. Can you start it online? What's your trajectory control like? What's the strike like? So it might even involve just some strike tape on the face as well. If it's putting, we've got some Putt Lab. Again, we just, you know, it's what's appropriate, I think, Duncan, really. So we don't have a standard assessment procedure. We try to tailor and personalize things as much as possible for the client in front of us. I think what you can do in a 2-hour period can be different to what you've got in 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Steve. Sounds great. About taking golf lessons, Steve.
Say again, sorry, mate, I just lost you there.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what's the most common thing that you tend to see on the lesson tee? And also, what do you think is probably the misconception about taking golf lessons?
Ooh, that's a great question. The thing I see the most would be strike issues, to be honest with you. Even up to the level of good players who just presume they're hitting it out of the middle of the club. I think with modern clubs, it's quite hard to tell for them with feel and feedback. Mm-hmm. So that would be the biggest one. I think them understanding where the low point is and how that works within their golf swing.
Yeah,
which is a massive misconception as well. People's perception of where they need to enter the turf or how the ball's supposed to collide with club face. Probably the biggest misconception. So I'm going to have two on that.
Okay.
Other part of the question, what was that again, Dunk? Was
what do you see the most of? You know, is it topping, shanking, slicing, hooking?
Yeah, got to be slicing.
What is it?
Slicing. No doubt about it. Even with good high single figures, low single figures, I think actually the pattern would be, I think the better the player, the more they miss left. I'm talking right-handers here, the more they hook it.
Yeah.
And then the higher the handicap, the more they slice it. And it's usually a combination of path and contact. Heel contact with out-to-in path is probably what I spend most of my day working on with, you know, handicap golfers from 3 through to 23.
Yeah, great. Excellent. So we're going to do a quick fire round.
Okay.
So first of all, what's your favourite golf course?
Ooh. Old Course, St Andrews. Just excellent. The history around it. I wouldn't say it's the greatest golf course. But yeah, it's just special when you're there. Golf course itself, layout, I would put... I'm going to say Birkdale. Great layout.
Yeah,
great layout. Bit of nostalgia there as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Can you give us a prediction for 2018, golf-wise?
Prediction for 2018? What? Winners or?
Can be.
Just a prediction for 2018. Is that what you're
asking? Yeah. Yeah, a golf prediction for 2018. Something you feel as though you're going to hang your hat on.
Right, that we will see Tiger regularly contending in golf tournaments, which we kind of seen already, but it's not a flash in the pan. The way he's swinging it, I've never seen him swing it better, I don't think.
Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
If he gets his confidence back, then I can see him getting back in the top 10 in the world.
Yeah, is he going to win?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll contend in a couple of majors. I really do.
Brilliant. Excellent. Steve, if you only had £100, what would you spend it on to help golfers?
Right. There you go. Can I have several? As long as I'm inside £100.
You can't go over £100.
Okay. I am going for a notebook, blank notebook, first of all.
Yeah.
Alignment sticks.
Yeah.
Face tape or spray.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I'm trying to think, that's a great question. String line.
Yeah.
And a mirror.
Is that a putting mirror or full length?
Yeah, putting mirror.
Yeah.
And a bag of tea pegs, mate. I'm only up to like £30 here, Dunk.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing group class for this.
And then, I'm trying to think what I use day in, day out. Let's go to. I just use a lot of baskets and things like that, Dunk. I use head covers, stuff they've got on them that they don't really going to have to, you know. I would, yeah, get them to sign up on a couple of apps online. I'd get them on a metronome app for a couple of quid. I'd get them on Coach's Eye for a couple of pound. Just loads of things where they've not got to go out and spend tons of money, just chalk and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to give you £70 back, Dunk. I bet we only spent 30.
That's fantastic. We can go out for a meal on that. All right, Steve, you get a chance to ask the question of the day as well. It can be, or preferably it's golf related. So as we can see if we can get some feedback from golfers with answers for the question of the day. So what is your question of the day or question of the podcast, Steve?
Right, going out to the general public would be, I'm trying to think how to word this probably. So the biggest thing for me, Dunk, would be about people's habits.
Yeah.
The biggest thing every day is that so many people want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They want to become better coaches. They want their coaching business to improve. They want to become better players. The biggest thing is people forming habits to be able to do that day in, day out. So my question is, how do you repeat the things that you need to do day in, day out? What processes have you got in place to form good habits? There's the question.
Fantastic. So what processes have you got in place to form good habits?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thanks, Steve. Now, Steve, social media, where can people find you? How can they interact with you?
Yeah, chat to me anytime. Twitter at Steve Astle Golf, very active on there. Instagram, same again, at Steve Astle Golf. Where else am I going? Tag me on LinkedIn, but mainly Twitter, Facebook, again, Steve Astle Golf. So yeah, you'll find me, Google it, you'll find me on all those, and I'm active on those daily. So give me a shout, people. Let's talk.
Brilliant. Steve, thanks ever so much, and I hope we get some good feedback, and hopefully can have you back on the show again.
I'd love to, Dunk. Keep doing your stuff, mate. It's awesome.
Thanks, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Bye. So there you have it, Steve Astle from the East Midlands Golf Academy, taking us through how he teaches golf out at the emga.co.uk. Give us some feedback, give us some comments about this first podcast. Give us some feedback about having a lesson that you did with Steve, or maybe you're somewhere in the country where you're not sure about where to go and get some really good golf instruction, or maybe you'd like to find someone that has a piece of technology that you're really interested in having a lesson on, or maybe it's short game lessons specifically, or putting, or mental, or course strategy. Open to any suggestions of what you would like me to talk about, open to suggestions of who you would like to hear about how I teach golf. So maybe it's someone from the tour that you think, I wonder what it's like actually taking a golf lesson from that. And I'll do my very best to look those people up, get them on the podcast and answer those questions you have about your own game. Maybe there's something you would like to get sorted out. Maybe I can find someone that's really good at fixing people that slice the golf ball, or hook the golf ball, or top fairway woods, or shank short irons or chip shots, can't get the ball out the bunker. How do I stop free putting? So it's a very much a two-way street for you here. I am going to be asking experts, or people that I feel are experts around the country, out in Europe and across the States, across the United States of America, about how I teach golf, how we can improve your game, whether it be just for this weekend or whether it be a long-term development plan. Let me know, give me feedback, and let me know if you've enjoyed this podcast or if you haven't. That's the only way I'm going to improve, is by getting some positive and negative feedback. It's all good. I mean, I really enjoyed doing my first one, and I look forward to sharing the new one with you very, very soon. Take care. Play well until then.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.